Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court.
You may proceed.
I'd like to briefly touch on the facts and then go to the posture of the case because it's a little different than it might first appear. This is a use tax case involving a corporate aircraft, an aircraft that was bought in Kansas, placed under lease at that time to a charter company for use in interstate commerce, and then brought into the state of Missouri. Use tax was paid in the amount of about $1.4 million under protest, and this case is a request for return or reimbursement on the basis that the transaction was exempt from tax. The commission, the Administrative Hearing Commission, ruled that this is not an exempt transaction because the aircraft lease did not qualify for the exemption. When we filed the appeal here, the Director of Revenue cross-appealed, claiming that we were not entitled to the exemption because the carrier is not a common carrier. The way the exemption works in this case, if there's a purchase for resale, and if that resale is exempt, then there's no use tax, there's an exemption. For the resale to be exempt, it has to be, in this case, a resale to a common carrier for use in interstate commerce. The carrier is a company named Jet Select, which is a charter operator, a jet charter operator that operates throughout the United States with a fleet of aircraft. And this aircraft has been operating in interstate commerce since it was purchased in March of 2011, now almost 4 years ago. The commissioner, the Administrative Hearing Commission, decided that the lease does not qualify as a sale, and therefore there was not a resale, and therefore the exemption does not apply. We, of course, believe that that is wrong, that it does not comply with the statutes, as stated in our brief. It does not comply with precedent from this court, and it does not comply with the regulations of the director. The director, in their brief, they have admitted, essentially, that that's true. So what does that leave for the court? What it leaves is the common carrier. And why is that? Because to qualify for the exemption, we have to show both a resale, which is the lease, but to a common carrier for use in interstate commerce.
Well, doesn't the director say in their brief, and for purposes of this appeal, he, the director, agrees that if Jet Select, is a common carrier, then the purchase was for resale. So are they contesting still, you believe, here, that they're a common carrier?
I believe what's happened, Your Honor, is that the Director of Revenue has withdrawn that cross appeal on the common carrier issue.
Because the trial court below found you were a common carrier.
Correct. Right?
And they're not cross appealing that.
That's not appealed, but it's not conceded either. And it's an essential element for the exemption. And since we're seeking to have the decision reversed, we have to have that element found. This court has de novo review of all issues. So in our view, that's an important, essential element that has to be considered by the court. Now, there's another, let me go right to the point you're raising, Your Honor, and that is how much is left in this case for the court to decide. We have the reimbursement of the tax, then there's an interest factor involved, and then assuming we were to prevail at this level, we will later intend to bring a motion for attorney's fees. Those issues are not conceded or agreed. They are still in dispute. I would note, though, that last week, the Director of Revenue mailed to our firm a check in the full amount of the tax with some additional amount for interest. Whether that's the correct amount or not, we don't know. We haven't really been able to sort that out with them yet. But we believe that that tender, which has not been accepted or cashed, is an attempt to avoid this common carrier issue. And that issue, while it's essential to our exemption, is also a very important issue statewide for all owners of aircraft that are being chartered to charter companies. That's the reason we remain here, and we believe this case needs to be resolved on both the issue of whether the lease is a sale and whether there is a common carrier operating the aircraft in interstate commerce for purposes of the exemption.
But do we have to reach that, or if it's not contested here, is that just an issue we assume and don't decide for purposes of this appeal?
For purposes of this appeal, Your Honor, I believe that the court has to decide that the exemption applies, and whether there's a common carrier or not is essential to that determination.
But you want us to, that issue's not been briefed before us by opposing counsel, because they say they're not appealing that determination here.
That issue
you want
is
us
not
to reach a substantive discussion of it for obviously for beyond this case. And I'm saying, is that something we should do? Is that something we usually do, or do we usually just decide narrowly, and if it's not contested here, it wasn't appealed here, that we wouldn't delve into the details of it?
Well, clearly, I think the court has that option. Clearly. We believe it's important in this case that the court go into that. And it was fully briefed below, and that is included in the record with all of the arguments pro and con. And while we touched on it in our brief, really, those arguments were to be raised in the cross-appeal, which has been withdrawn. So,
can you address the merits then for us on the company?
Yes. The key to whether JetSelect, the charter operator, is a common carrier or not, the key under this court's precedent is whether there's a holding out to the general public that JetSelect is willing to accept customers as they come. We believe that the evidence in the record is overwhelming that there is a holding out, and that there's been general advertising through many media, including, not the least of which, is Facebook, with over 400 customers there nationwide, use of the aircraft nationwide in interstate commerce. There's a listing of all the different advertising channels that have been used. In addition, the carrier in this case, the charter operator, has an FAA certificate to operate as a common carrier and meets all the requirements of the FAA for common carrier. Furthermore, it's clear, I believe, that the way in which JetSelect operates has exclusive use of the aircraft at all times, which is also critical.
So why did the director take the opposing position that you were not a common carrier? What did they focus on?
The primary issue below, and we believe still an issue before the court, is whether this arrangement involves a common carrier or a contract carrier. And the department took the position that this was a contract carrier because each flight of this aircraft is subject to negotiation of where and when you depart and where you arrive. It's not like a scheduled airline. It's an on-demand operation. So each customer is allowed to ask for an airplane at the downtown Kansas City airport to fly to LaGuardia Airport, for example, on a given day. And the department has taken the position that that's a contract carrier, not a common carrier.
And is there precedent here or elsewhere as to how non-scheduled carriers are treated?
We do not have precedent on that point in Missouri. And we haven't offered any authority from other states. Although all the discussion of common carrier is silent on whether you're on demand or a scheduled operator. And our position in this debate is that when we can show that this carrier qualifies as a common carrier because of the holding out and meeting the other elements, that it cannot be disqualified from that exemption if it also meets the definition of contract carrier.
As you mentioned, there's a debate. Why should the debate be here if your opposing party is willing to concede the issue? Why not the legislature or rulemaking authority to clarify the issue? What makes up a common carrier?
That may be appropriate in the future, Your Honor. I don't really know what the director has in mind here. But I would point out that the director has not conceded the issue, simply avoided the issue by withdrawing that point on appeal.
Is there anything in the statutes or regulations that addresses whether a company can qualify under more than one definition, or that one takes precedence over the other?
Yes, Your Honor, there's a discussion about the statutory history in the commissioner's decision. And it's reasoning by negative inference. But by negative inference, it appears that at one time the definition of contract carrier excluded any common carriers. Now that exclusion has been withdrawn from the statute, so it appears that we have, in a Venn diagram, some common ground between the two. And again, our view is all we have to do is qualify for the exemption. We can't be disqualified if we happen to fit another definition also.
But again, back to the point, you say your opposing party is avoiding the issue. Why shouldn't it go to a forum where there could be hearings, witnesses can appear, there'll be notice, and all the issues regarding the exemption or common carrier or whatever definition can be heard in some kind of a more legislative or executive process versus the court, which is designed to hear case-by-case issues?
That's a very valid point, obviously, Your Honor. I believe that this was fully debated and presented below, and the commissioner found in our favor on the issue of common carriers, and we believe that the commissioner's decision was accurate, but we also believe it's important for this court to reconsider that and find that that was a correct ruling.
And contract carriers are not exempt.
If you are a contract carrier, that will not qualify you for this exemption. But if you're a common carrier, it will. If you fit both definitions, and our position is, once qualified, we cannot be disqualified.
And that's what the AHC found.
Yes, that is right, Your Honor.
Any further questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Please, the court. I have little to add. I just note that in light of Brambles, in light of the director's regulation, the director did not take the position below that the AHC, on which the AHC relied, and the director agrees that in light of current law, that the AHC is wrong and should be reversed on that ground. As to the common carrier question, I'll be quite candid. The director doesn't agree with the idea that contract carriers and common carriers overlap to any significant degree. But based on the record that was created before the AHC and the findings made by the AHC, the director determined that this was not the case in which to further explore that question. It's actually a fairly classic example of a place where we have the sales tax that was drafted in a different era. Although this particular exemption did come in the midst of airline deregulation, it certainly has never been revisited in a day when airlines do not function the way they did in the 1960s and 1970s. Hopefully one of these days the legislature gets back into the sales tax area and addresses things like this. The definition of common carrier that is cited is not actually in the sales tax law. It appears elsewhere, along with the definition of contract carrier. There is no clear definition of common carrier in the sales tax law, and the director did not see fit to ask this court to further define it in this particular context.
Is that the only place it's defined, though?
It may be defined in some other place, but it's not in the sales tax law. That is, the common carrier is referenced but not defined in the sales tax law. And where it is defined, it's defined in places that say for purposes of this chapter. Okay. So it's they may be, and they're discussed in the appellant's brief and in the documents below. They may be informative, but they're not dispositive because they are restricted to a different context.
Opposing counsel says that even though you dismiss your cross appeal, that the substance, the merits of the issue of whether they're a common carrier is still before us because we can't affirm or can't reverse on the judgment below of the AHC unless we reach that issue. If that's true, is your position harmed by the failure to brief that issue?
Well, it's true in a sense, but all the court has to do is reverse the AHC to the extent the AHC was wrong, that is, on the question of the sale for resale. And then the court can either itself say, then based on the rest of the AHC decision, it's dispositive, or the court could remand, in which case the AHC simply finishes the job by saying, okay, now we're done, we don't have this other step.
Well, but if you concede that they were wrong on the sale for resale,
yes,
and you concede that the evidence in the record supports the conclusion in this case that they're a common carrier, what else is there to do? There's nothing else for us to decide.
No, there's really nothing else to be decided. And, you know, we don't think this is an appropriate case in which to explore the parameters of contract carriers and common carriers and the various parts of the law given what the AHC decided. There may be another case, better case, at some point in the future, but at this point there's no need for the court to do that.
But you do specifically concede in this case, on this record, you're not claiming error in the findings.
We are not claiming error in the findings of the AHC that the recipient of the plane, the current user of the plane, is a common carrier. No, we are not asserting on this record, in this case, that is error.
Anything else? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
I really don't have too much to add. I think that what counsel just said goes beyond the brief slightly in that there was never a concession before on the common carrier issue. If, in fact, that is conceded in this case, that may make a difference. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Excuse me. The matter will be taken under submission.